see an outline in your bulletin, the top of which should say, wash your sins away. This is just several passages from the book of Acts. Wash your sins away. Let's ask God to help us as we look to His Word together. God, we pray that You would speak to us. Your Word is very clear, and it's very encouraging to us as we consider it. To speak to our hearts, speak to our church. Let us see what Your Word has to say to us all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor Lee Strobel shares the account. He was doing a baptism service at his church. And they told the people before they came to the platform to be baptized to take a piece of paper and write down a few sins they had committed. And fold the paper. And when they come to the platform, there was a large wooden cross on the stage. And they were to take the paper and take a pin and pin the paper to the cross. Because the Bible says our sins are nailed to the cross with Jesus. And He fully paid for our sins by His death. Then turn and come to the pastor and be baptized. And he says, I want to read you a letter of a woman wrote who was baptized in one of those services. She said this, "I remember my fear. In fact, it was the most fear I remember in my life. I wrote as tiny as I could on the piece of paper the word abortion. And I was so scared that someone would open the paper and read it and find out it was me. I wanted to get up and walk out of the auditorium during the service. The guilt and fear were that strong. When my turn came, I walked toward the cross. I pinned the paper there. I was directed by the pastor. I was directed to the pastor to be baptized. He looked me straight in the eyes. I thought for sure he was going to read this terrible secret I kept from everybody for so long. But instead, I felt like God was telling me, I love you. It's okay. You've been forgiven. I felt so much love for me, a terrible sinner. It's the first time I ever really felt forgiveness and unconditional love. It was unbelievable, indescribable." And he closes with this. Do you have a sin inside of you, a secret sin, that you wouldn't even want to write down on a piece of paper? Out of fear, somebody might open it up and find out. Let me tell you something about the Jesus I know. Not only does He want to adopt you as His child, He wants to lift the weight of guilt off your shoulders. It's wonderful to understand. And I think to a point, the greater your sins are, the more wonderful it really is. I think Jesus said that to Simon. Simon had a party. A woman was there, weeping at Jesus' feet. And she was drying His feet with her hair. And Simon thought to himself, if only Jesus knew what kind of woman this was. And Jesus said, Simon, I have something to tell you. You know, if a certain man owed $200 to another man, and another man owed $10. And the man who was owed the money said, "You're both forgiven. Your debts are erased." Who do you think would be more grateful? And he said, "Well, I think it's who do you think would show more love, or who would be more appreciative?" "Well, the man who had the bigger debt erased," Simon said. And Jesus said, "Do you see this woman? She's treated me like royalty, basically. And you didn't wash my feet when I came in. This woman washed my feet with her tears. She dried them with her hair. She put perfume on my feet." And basically, the point Jesus was making is he who has been forgiven much, he or she, loves much. He who has been forgiven little, loves little. As you can see, we're ready for a baptism. I'm still holding out. I don't know. Well, let's see what happens. All this was for this reason, okay, this whole thing. But maybe we can all learn something about baptism. Most of what I read, honestly, in the commentaries about baptism, I disagree with. I can't find decent commentaries on baptism. I don't own any. I've looked. And none of the things that I haven't put anything from a commentary in here, actually. I got fed up with it, and I said, "What does the Bible say?" And maybe that's how we should understand baptism. The book of Acts is a great place to go if you're trying to figure out, because baptism really is a mystery. It's a funny thing. Like, we know a lot about communion, I think. We hear about communion every week, and I've heard about communion my whole life. You know, Sunday after Sunday, my dad did communion meditations at our church with the other elders, and man alive, I heard so much on communion. And I heard some about baptism, but I think baptism really is the one that's misunderstood. And people have all kinds of ideas about what baptism is and what it's not, and it can be very confusing. So I found this encouraging as I just read through Acts and came across these things. I'm not going to just read all this for you, because that would be a lot. So we're just going to kind of summarize some of this. The first passage in Acts 2, Peter and the other apostles, the Holy Spirit has just come upon them. And they start speaking in other languages. And everyone is in Jerusalem at that point, from different areas of the world, and they hear the apostles speaking in their own language. And Peter addresses them in basically what's usually considered the first sermon, you know, outside the Sermon on the Mount that the apostles preached. And he basically... In verse 22 of chapter 2 of Acts, he says this. This is one of the things he says. Anyways, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." He's talking, really, to the very people, some of the very people, who had been responsible, at least from a human standpoint, for the death of Christ on the cross. And I'll just pick up in verse 36. Therefore, he says, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? It's kind of like the story that I told at the beginning, isn't it? You know, they have this, they're starting to feel the weight of their own actions. They're saying, man, we're sorry. What do we do? I mean, we killed Jesus Christ. It was not even justified. He didn't do anything wrong. Peter just says, the next thing Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That was quite a day. 3,000 people baptized that day. But it's interesting, we have to see some things that are very plain here. Peter says, repent and be baptized. They said, what should we do? We've sinned. We clearly see that. We've made a big mistake. What should we do? How should we fix this problem? How can things be made right again? Because we've done a lot of wrong. Repent. A change of mind, really, that leads to a change in action. You're going down a certain path, you turn around and go back the other way. You're following and obeying sin in your life. You turn around, you start following and obeying Christ. He mentions another thing, and your sins will be forgiven. Okay, they can be wiped clean. All that stuff can be gone, put behind you. So it's forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we have to see that those who accepted his message were baptized. It wasn't a forced thing. It wasn't, okay, you know, preach the sermon, now we lead people. Everybody come out of your chairs and come forward. You know, no, it's those who accepted the message, they agreed, they were baptized. Okay, it's very simple to understand. We can go on from there to Acts chapter 8. And I won't read all this, but there was a man named Simon. He was a sorcerer, and he amazed the people in Samaria with his magic. Philip was preaching the good news, okay, in verse 12. In the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, people were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed people. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. So here, this guy, he's a magician, he's a sorcerer in that town, and he's amazed because Simon, this man of God, can do things too. He can do great signs. Through the Holy Spirit, he can perform miracles. And this guy's like me. Look at this. So he was baptized. He believed and was baptized, we're told. The people, when they heard the message Philip was preaching, they were baptized. So So in other words, they accepted the message too. And that was the response. You know, we might wonder, okay, how do you respond? And we see that Simon himself believed. That's the faith part. And was baptized. Okay, so we have to see that the repentance is not mentioned there. Interestingly. But the baptism is mentioned. So earlier we saw repentance was mentioned in baptism. And the belief was there. But here we don't see the repentance. Just something I'm pointing out. Another part here in the book of Acts, Philip again came across an Ethiopian eunuch. This guy was reading from Isaiah the prophet. The passage he was reading was, "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before the shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Please tell me, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch had said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. But he went on his way rejoicing. I think we're starting to see a pattern here, maybe. You know, we asked the question, okay, what does baptism mean? Why should we even do it? What is the purpose? Well, there's a pattern here developing. Someone hears about Christ and what he's done. The forgiveness that he offers, the fact that he died on a cross for our sins. And when someone says, "Well, that's amazing, that's life-changing, and my sins can be forgiven by only an eternal God." Well, there's water right over there. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Acts 18, another story. Paul was in Corinth. He met a Jew named Aquila and Priscilla. They were tent makers. He was a tent maker. So they had some things in common. Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia. Paul devotes himself to exclusively preaching and testifying that Jesus was the Christ. He was preaching to the Jews. When the Jews opposed and Paul and became abusive, he shook the dust off it. He shook his clothes in protest, saying to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I'm going to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue. He went next door to the house of Titius Justus and a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. I think we see it again. People are believing. The response that they have is being baptized as well. And then just the last one from Acts 22, verse 12. A man named Ananias came to see Paul. He He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." At that moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, "The God of your fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name." When I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying at the temple. I fell into a trance, and I saw the Lord speaking. "Quick," he said, "leave Jerusalem immediately, because they will not accept your testimony about me." "Lord," I replied, "these men know that I went from one synagogue to another, in order to imprison and beat those who believe in you. When the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval, guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, 'Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles.'" I think we have to see it here in this passage at the end that Paul was on a road very much the opposite of what he was supposed to be on. He was persecuting the church. He thought he was doing the right thing, I think. How did these words strike him? Yeah, he was there giving approval to Stephen's death. You can read that, I think, in chapter 7 of the book of Acts. He had gone from synagogue to synagogue to imprison and beat those who believe in Jesus. And what did Ananias say to this man? "Get up. What are you waiting for? All those sins that we just mentioned, helping to beat and imprison and kill those who are followers of Jesus Christ, they can be washed away. Totally gone. Essentially, a flood comes and just takes them." And Paul would say later, I'm the worst of the sinners. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle. I've done these horrific things. All gone. Washed away. Not that you could have found them in the water, so to speak. Right? It wasn't a visible thing you could see, but the picture of baptism is, it's very visible. It's this is what's happening. The old you is dying in the water. The person that comes up out of the water is totally different. A change takes place. It's not like it's magic water. I mean, do you see the pattern? I think it's very clear. Like, when is a person baptized? When they hear and understand the message about Christ. Now, we can say that faith is a part of that. Because those who were baptized, they believed the message. That this is a real message. That Christ can take your sins upon himself. Take them away. All that weight is gone. And it's not just a general message like, "Oh, wouldn't that be nice?" We could hope for something like that to happen, but that's not reality. No, it's really true that there's a weight that's removed from you. You're released. You can say, "Man, I was an idiot in the past. I made serious mistakes. I hurt other people. I sinned against God more than anyone else. And yet he offers me this. So it's first a call to believe the message that we've heard. It's second a call to repent and turn away from that life. Oh, certainly, we get turned around. You know, we start following after Christ, especially after you first get baptized. You're all excited. And then you don't, the excitement kind of leaves. And you go back to some of the old things, maybe. So the repentance really is a continual action. It's a continual, it's a daily thing. Like, I'm leaving this stuff behind. More and more you're convinced that this stuff is not good for me. It's not good for my relationships. It's not good for the kingdom of God. That I stay living in sin. Whatever that looks like for you. And you know, my anger is just out of control. So, you know, it's got to change. You know, I'm not doing what I should be doing with my finances. I'm spending my money in foolish ways. It has to change. My relationships are just a mess. It's got to change. So the repentance is there. The baptism is there, which really is a miracle to see it. A lot of the churches that I watch online have their services now. They stream the whole service, so you can just watch the whole thing. I mean, a couple of them, like 50 people will come forward on one Sunday. They'll just sit there, and they'll baptize people. And they'll say, anyone else? You know, people will come forward, and they'll baptize more people. And it's amazing to see it. And you think of all these lives. Now listen. And I think sometimes this is misunderstood too, that how does the change come though? You know, so you accept the message. You repent from your sins. You're baptized. And remember back in Acts 2, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now here is power from outside of you. It's coming in. God is coming in. He's saying, my temple is now your heart. And I know you don't think you can change. And in some way you're right. Yet you don't have the power. And that's some of the difficulty I see. People want to follow God and they want, but they don't know how. How am I going to have the power to do it? How do I actually know that I'm saved? What's that guarantee? What's that deposit in my soul? It's the Holy Spirit living in you. He looks at you. God looks at you and says, my spirit is in that person. And it's the guarantee of our hope. You say, I hope I get to heaven. Well, let me tell you, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you're going there. Because God says, I gave you my Spirit. And it seals you to that day. I'm out of time. What can I say?